piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patton.
And we're the Food Guys. We brought up the topic of pasteurization. We were doing our little research, and Louis Pasteur won the Nobel Prize. You think Pasteur was the guy who invented it. It's named after him. He did it by pasteurizing milk, right?
No.
No. Wrong. He was living in a place where they had a problem with the new wines, which had a tendency to go sour at times because various kinds of contaminants, so forth. He discovered that by heating it slightly, not terribly.
Not a lot.
He could
122
get rid of
to 140 degrees Fahrenheit, which is not boiling and nowhere near boiling.
Nowhere near boiling. That was plenty of time to kill all those microbes, and the wine could still be properly aged without sacrificing anything to the final quality. What
that,
a genius.
The temperature that he chose, actually what it did was it killed the microbes and it prevented the wine and the beer from turning sour.
Yep.
And that was what was the problem before that. So the pasteurization originally, who knew, was invented to prevent wines from turning sour, and then they could be aged as they normally would.
The practice began to be applied to milk, particularly in the United States, where, for instance, it was not uncommon for people to add various kinds of contaminants to mask the spoilage of milk. This was back in the 19th century. The trouble is, milk, to my horror, as I discovered, is an excellent medium for microbial growth. One of the most dangerous foods in the world, according to the U.S. Centers of Disease Control.
Uh-huh.
Improperly handled milk is responsible for nearly three times more hospitalizations than any other foodborne disease outbreak.
Uh-huh.
So pasteurization, really an important thing for the milk industry, as you can imagine.
Very important.
For any kind of widespread circulation of milk. All of these problems, of course, came before a really intense approach to milk production in terms of cleaning up the dairy itself and the processing of it.
Once you had it all on this commercial scale, then it was incredibly important to pasteurize and then to keep the milk cold, all during transport and all during storage.
Mm-hmm.
Pasteurization uses temperatures below boiling. Since at very high temperatures, the casein molecules, the protein molecules in the milk, will curdle. There are two main kinds of pasteurization today. The first and the most common is high temperature, short time,
HTST.
Affectionately abbreviated as HTST. Then there's the other kind, which goes way above the boiling point, and it's called extended shelf life pasteurization, or UHT, ultra-high temperature processing, which is called ultra-pasteurization. Now, in HTST, the milk is heated to around 161 degrees Fahrenheit, boiling point at sea level of water, milk, 212 degrees. This is 161 degrees for 15 seconds. And that's enough to kill the microbes. That's enough to kill the microbes. The UHT processing holds the milk at a temperature of 280 degrees Fahrenheit for a minimum of 2 seconds.
2 seconds. Boom. It's done.
Milk simply labeled pasteurized is usually treated with the HTST method, but milk labeled ultra-pasteurized or UHT has been treated with the ultra-high temperature method, 280 degrees for minimum of 2 seconds. Okay.
Trouble is, there are some problems with pasteurization.
There's problems, especially with the UHT, and that has to do with the flavor of the dairy that results from it. My experience, John, is that it lacks all taste. 280 degrees, even for 2 seconds or 3 seconds, destroys milk's taste. I get angry at this because when I go shopping, there are certain markets, I can only get UHT milk. I cannot get any other kind.
Can't get the HTST.
I cannot. It's irksome. It was developed, this ultra-high temperature thing, it was developed in the 60s. It came on the market in the 70s, and it was really done at the convenience of the manufacturer. Milk that is treated UHT can be kept, as long as you don't open the container, for months.
Nine months.
Nine months.
And it's labeled fresh milk.
And it's labeled fresh milk.
Something that's 9 months old is not fresh.
It's not fresh.
It's not fresh.
Here's my recommendation. Find locally produced half and half whole milk heavy cream, all pasteurized, not ultra-pasteurized. I want the taste. I want to support local industry, and I want to buy something that tastes good and is something that I'm going to enjoy. We encourage you to go looking wherever you're shopping in your stores. Look to make sure that you're buying pasteurized and not ultra-pasteurized. This is particularly true if you're looking for something like heavy cream and half and half.
Particularly, yes.
Mostly, you're going to find the ultra-pasteurized, but it's not going to taste as good. And you just need to talk to the store owners and say, you want pasteurized. You do not want UHT.
You're not interested in extended shelf life.
No, you want the fresh stuff, and fresh means not 9 months old.
And with that news, come back next week for
The Food Guys. Guys.